Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill Luff. You already know that. However, Wendy Snyder, my normal partner, and when I say normal, I say it in italics, my usual partner, is taking some time off. So we spun the wheel of guest hosts, and it came up on Mark Carman.
I am so fortunate to be here. Great to see you, Bill Leff. I've never actually, before a show, gone to Whole Foods and gotten a breakfast taco and seen my co-host. So today feels just like a special morning.
We ran into each other at the Whole Foods.
Yeah, and I was buying something that probably wasn't great for me, and you were buying, like, cardboard.
I bought some, it's cardboard, but it's carob-flavored cardboard because it's at Whole Foods. $163. I don't think out of line. Do you? I think that's a fair price.
Whole Foods, whole paycheck, but hey, you're healthy.
That's all that matters. Look. In the end, that's all that matters. All right, we need to discuss something that happened yesterday that I know you're aware of because you covered it to some extent last night when you were doing your show.
We're talking Mai Tai Guy? Are we talking Matt Nagy?
Let's start out with Matt Nagy. For those of you who don't know this, Matt Nagy showed up yesterday on the Cubs broadcast because he threw out the first pitch at the beginning of the game, and then he sang "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" during the seventh inning stretch.
Yeah.
However, he changed a word that isn't the right. It's if you're going to change a word in the seventh inning stretch and take me out to the ball game, this was an interesting choice of words.
This is weird because I saw it live and I didn't pick up on
it. Were you there, Steve, or
see it
on TV?
I was listening to it. I didn't hear it.
I was watching it on TV. I thought I heard what I heard. And I said to my wife was in the next room, and I said, "Are you watching the Cubs game?" And she said, "What do you think?" And I go, "I don't think you are, but on the off chance that you are watching the Cubs game, you're not going to believe this. Matt Nagy just sang this." And then I rewound it, I listened again, and it made it 100% clear that's what he's singing. We will play the tape for you now. This is Matt Nagy changing the words to "Buy Me Some Peanuts and Cracker Jack" just slightly.
A two, a three, take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Wow.
I mean, I think that's pretty clear.
Well, it's very clear. Now, you can get a lot of things at a baseball game.
That's true. They got lots of options. They've really expanded the concessions. You're right.
Today's Major League Baseball stadiums have almost anything you'd ever want to enjoy a baseball game.
No doubt.
But his suggestion is unusual. Yeah. Would you agree?
I would. That's not typically... I don't know if that's... I don't think they have that at like concession 10 or 12.
You have to seek that out. Yeah, you have to find that yourself.
Right. The guest shop doesn't have that thing. They got a lot of sweatshirts.
All right, let's go behind the scenes for just a little bit. What do you think happened there, Mark?
I think... I have a lot of theories on this, Bill. Number one theory is that when he goes to a baseball game with his friends... Mm-hmm. That's their running joke, and they sing the seventh inning stretch together.
They don't sing "Buy Me Some Peanuts and Cracker Jack." No. They substitute a word.
Right.
And it's fun because it's him and his friends enjoying a baseball game.
Right, yeah. Him and his three buddies.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Right.
I think there's a chance that it was a dare. Somebody said, "Hey, I'll give you... whatever, 10 G. It's got to be some decent dough. I mean, he's the head coach of the Bears, right?
Right.
If you switch up peanuts to...
To male reproductive organ.
Right.
Or a shortened version. The medical version.
Right. Isn't it? It feels like such an odd thing. We can play it, but we can't say it.
Right. I know. We can talk about it because it's newsworthy, but I don't know that we can say it.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's
not fair.
Those are kind of, and maybe, I guess, some people tell me that's the way they speak that word on the East Coast.
Really?
Yeah, that seems very odd to me.
Wouldn't the Planters Peanuts people be very mindful of that, if that were the case?
I would think so. What do you mean that's how they say that word out there?
I don't know that that one's accurate.
Park the car at Harvard Yard? What is this?
Right. I don't know that one's accurate.
I'm sure you have some brilliant thoughts on this.
Well, if you'll remember, Matt didn't just sing it on his own. He brought his sons. I don't know how many of these boys were his sons. He was up there. They showed him in the booth. What looked like at the beginning two young guys then became about 9 or 10 young guys. So obviously he said to his sons, "I'm going to go to Wrigley. I'm singing the seventh inning stretch. Do you guys want to go? You can all bring a friend or something." Because there were a lot of... So maybe, in the minivan on the way down, somebody said, "Dad, remember how sometimes you sing a different version? You should do that version at the baseball game.
See, now that would be setting a pretty bad example for the youth of
Horrible.
America.
Horrible. And yet, doesn't this kind of get him a nomination for Father of the Year if he said, yeah, well, we'll see how it goes. You know, dads never want to commit to anything. You hear this a lot. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I really want you to remember this baseball game. I'm going to do something special for you. I know you guys love it.
Right. Right.
You know, it's not the first time that this version was sung, though, at Wrigley Field.
Somebody else sang this.
Yes. Brad Miller, who I don't know if you remember, he was a Chicago Bull, big center, played for, I want to say, Purdue in college. Get Dave Ennett back in here. I think I'm right about that. Brad Miller had a lot to drink.
Uh-huh.
Here, I'll send it to Jasmine, I think, if I could find it here.
Okay.
And he clearly was inebriated, and that's what happened. But Matt Nagy sounded straight sober.
Yes,
right?
Yes, he did. Don't you think that if it's a version that you do sing with your friends sometimes, maybe you learned that version as a kid, you always thought it was funny, it's in the back of your mind, you're not really thinking it out. And you know you're on live TV, but you're just like, all I need to do is get through the song, and the rest of my day is mine.
Right.
And then there it is. There's the lyric.
I think it seems to me like something hard to mess up.
Yeah.
I don't know what other people heard, but I mean, it's pretty clear, right?
There's no doubt in my mind. All right, so when I heard it initially, I went, I'm pretty sure he's saying that. Then I rewound it there on the spot yesterday afternoon. I was positive, and then you and I exchanged some texts yesterday, and I went to the internet. We've got the internet in our house now. It's very popular. And on the internet, there's dozens and dozens of people going, hey, did I just hear what I think I heard? Yes.
Apparently, according to the text line, Eddie Vedder did this as well. I don't remember that.
Really?
One. Yeah. But I
that could be a cut on one of his CDs.
Never doubt the text line. I'm sure that's correct.
Brenda would like to add to this chaos. Brenda, how are you?
Good. How are you?
What do you think of what happened yesterday with Coach Nagy?
So I have two theories. First of all, I'm picturing him. I mean, I don't know him personally, but his image is clearly a macho type guy.
Yes.
And so if you think about it, the last thing he would want to give is sort of the impression that he's gay. Buy me some blank. I could see if it were some perverse joke where a macho guy might say, buy me some, and it was some female part.
Oh.
But I don't think a professional football coach, the last thing, I mean, I'm assuming he's heterosexual. He's married and has kids. So that's one point I wanted to make. And then secondly, it brought to mind, I've got a very dear sister-in-law, and for years she and her mother made a cookie tray for all of us for Christmas.
Yeah.
And my favorite was always, I said, well, what's that? What's that one? It's so good. And she said, nut cups. And I'm like, what, nut cups?
Nut cups.
Yeah, nut cups. Nut cups. Like, she wouldn't say the T.
Oh.
And she's got a master's degree. She's an intelligent person, but she pronounces it nut cups.
Sometimes
and
the letters run together.
I finally realized she's trying to say nut cups.
Right.
So I don't know if in some
maybe
cultures,
there's something to that. There could be something to that. Brenda, thank you for the call.
Sure.
Take care. Bye. Jazz, can we play that just briefly one more time, very quickly? This is Matt Nagy yesterday at the Cubs game, seventh inning stretch.
Me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some penis and Cracker Jack.
Is there any doubt, honestly, is there any doubt in your mind?
It's incredible because, you know, I talked about this last night, and the same people on the text line seemingly were listening last night because people want to defend this. He
yes.
didn't say it. He didn't say it. He didn't say it. What's wrong with if he said it?
It's right. Only- it's really funny. And there is a special prize in most Cracker Jacks. So
that's true.
You know, you got to be very careful what you're looking for in a Cracker Jack.
And you know what I thought was funny?
Usually it's really bad tattoos. Remember those tattoos that you'd lick and you'd put them on your arm?
See, that was the thing. Like, everyone's like, I want the gift and the cracker. It was never a good gift. It was like this terrible thing.
Well, but it's generational because by the time you were of Cracker Jack age, the gifts became very, very cheap. But back in the old days, you'd get a compass. There were
really?
Yeah. There were really good stuff in the Cracker Jack, but now, like I said, it's all, you lick the tattoo, you put it on your arm, it's gone in 30 seconds.
That's kind of cool back in the day. Maybe that you would actually, a compass.
Yeah, you get a compass. Yeah. It was better.
You know,
no lost kids in the 1940s. Thank you, Cracker Jack.
Way to go, Cracker Jack. The the Cubs PA guy, you know, Matt Nagy, yeah. N-A-G-Y, everybody spells his name wrong. The Cubs PA guy, like, went over the top. Matt Nagy, like, he really
pronounced it.
I mean, he put that E-H in there, the correct pronunciation for the Bears head coach. And then he goes out and does this. I just want to...
What a day. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. It's Bill and Mark Harmon in for Wendy on WGN. Bill Leff, along with Mark Carman. Mark is filling in for Wendy. Wendy has the week off. You're involved, to some extent, Mark, in another baseball story around Chicago.
So, yeah, it was Tuesday night, right? And Kyle Schwarber hits a walk-off.
10th inning, big home run.
10th inning, 3-3 game. He one out, hits a bomb to left center. And guy catches the home run ball, and he's got two kids next to him. And Chicago goes crazy because he didn't give the ball to the kid.
Right.
And then we find out that the guy's name is Mai Tai Guy.
Not his given name.
Not his...
Just a nickname.
His name is Chris Sorley. I've done some research here. So I see Paul Sullivan in the Tribune yesterday. He goes out and he finds Mai Tai Guy. And so then I'm like, oh, man.
I got to find Mai Tai Guy.
I can't let Sully have all the glory here. I got to find Mai Tai Guy too.
Yeah.
So it was written
on his T-shirt, right? Is that what it said on his T-shirt? I'm trying to remember.
He's got it on the back of his
on the back of
he's
his
got
shirt?
A back of a Cubs jersey.
Oh.
He's bought these Cubs jerseys. He literally has 7 Cubs jerseys. I learned talking to him yesterday.
Yeah.
And they've all got Mai Tai Guy on the back. He started going to games in 99 or 2000. The most Mai Tais he's ever drank in one game was 16 Mai Tais. That was back in the day.
He's not like Alligator Bob, where even though his name is Alligator, he doesn't catch them. Mai Tai Guy not only catches the Mai Tais, he enjoys them.
Right.
All right.
Somebody said to him, like, because he always was slugging these Mai Tais, like, hey, Mai Tai Guy, why don't you tell the left fielder whatever?
Yeah.
And so then Mai Tai Guy's like, he yelled at the left fielder, like, way to go, Mai Tai Guy. And then he became Mai Tai Guy.
Oh.
So he sits in the front row of left center. And so I went out there yesterday, and his friend was... I'm like, where's Mai Tai Guy? I'm asking the ushers and one other down there.
Oh, they know.
Yeah, oh, they knew. So I go down. Mai Tai Guy's seat is empty, but his friend is there. I'm like, you think Mai Tai Guy would come on the radio with me? Are you gonna be like everybody else and kill Mai Tai Guy? I'm like, no, I'm not. I think that an adult is allowed to go for a home run ball, especially a walk off.
Yeah.
If he ripped it out of the kid's hand, that'd be one thing.
Right.
But I'm on Mai Tai Guy's side.
Oh.
Why? I see. And then I learned that they had been out there, you know, they're sitting in the front row of the bleachers. Those are first come, first serve.
Sure.
All those kids had gotten a ball. There's a picture of, like, there's four.
The kids who could have gotten the home run ball already had a ball somehow.
Right.
Somebody threw them a ball or something happened.
They're catching home run
ball. But not as famous a ball as the ball that ended the game. Kyle Schwarber's first walk-off home run.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. But Mai Tai Guy, he was also one in the basket, and the basket's a little deep. These kids are not as big as Mai Tai Guy. He didn't think they could get down there and get it.
Right.
So, and he was worried that
he
somebody else...
He swooped in.
Right.
You've seen the footage. He just quickly moves in, grabs the ball, and retreats.
Yes.
As a Mai Tai Guy will do.
So should we hear a drop of Mai Tai Guy?
Yeah.
So I asked, because Mai Tai Guy is getting all this love, and the biggest Cub fan ever is Ronnie Woo Woo, right?
Of all time.
Right. So, but Woo's... I mean, he's at the end of his run, let's be honest.
I know.
So we got to have a replacement. So I asked Mai Tai Guy, after supporting him, do you think that you could become the next woo-woo?
I'm not out there to make a buck. I'm not out there to hustle or scam or hurt anybody. I don't believe in that. I like to treat people the way I want to be treated. Unfortunately, some people think I treated somebody a certain way, and they want to treat me in a way that doesn't really, unfortunately, reflect how I try to treat people. It's crazy how everything's been. It's been fun. If I become the next Ronnie Woo Woo, that's great. That means I'll have the next generation of fans looking up to me like I looked up to Ronnie myself.
Mark, you and I have had this conversation 1,000 times. I've been saying this for years. Mai Tai Guy is misunderstood.
Right.
He's very misunderstood.
We have, like, we would, you know, we'll play tennis, and then after the match, we'll sit down after you beat me 6-3, 6-0, and then we won't talk about it because it's uncomfortable that I just lost again, and we'll just
what about Mai Tai Guy?
Right.
Yeah. But don't you think in a moment like that where you see kids where that's the kind of thing that would make their summer, if not their year, if not their life, and you go, now I'm an adult with a longer reach, I'm going to grab the ball.
See, yes, but you're in the moment, right?
Yeah.
And to think that I'm just going to, hey, little Billy, reach over and get it
yeah.
when who knows what's around you. Everyone's sure. going for that ball. I mean, that's a lot to ask a Mai Tai guy. And I think Mai Tai guy had good intentions.
You're on his side.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll get you some news. And then there's a lot more show ahead. Stay here. It's Bill and Mark in for Wendy on WGN.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
Bill Leff, it's Mark Harmon. Mark is sitting in for Wendy, and joining us, the excitable boy himself, David Hochberg.
Hi.
David, how's your summer going? Everything's
my summer's
going
great. Thank you for asking.
Give me a highlight of your summer. What has been the best thing that's happened to you so far? We're at the midway mark right
yes.
now. This is the midway point of the summer. What's the best thing so far?
Last Sunday, I sent two of my girls to summer camp, overnight camp, and then I dropped my oldest one off at O'Hare.
Oh.
So that was last Sunday. That was kind of, so it's me and the missus.
And that's yeah. and that's fun that way? You
yes.
like that, right?
Yes.
It's romantic.
Oh, it's fun. Yes.
You didn't go with romantic?
I'm just sticking with fun, and we're just going with there. I love my kids.
Yeah?
It's great.
Yeah?
I got two of them about, I don't know, 75 miles away up in Wisconsin. I got another one touring through Israel right now.
Oh.
It's fantastic. Enjoying things.
Is she on that Birthright program?
No.
She's
it is
not.
A camp program, but oh. she did the Birthright program. I'm sure 98% of your audience has no idea what we're talking about, but the Jewish community...
We love camp.
Well, we love camp. The Jewish community sends all Jewish kids to Israel as a birthright.
Yes.
It's your right to go to Israel.
They pick up
and
the
tab.
And
they pay for it. Yes.
How about that?
And you can use that trip up to a certain age, I think 25, I'm
yes.
not sure. But my older daughter went when she, I believe, was 14 with a group of other 14-year-olds, and it was a great trip. And now
That's
she's
fantastic.
Going back for camp.
Yeah.
They went to Poland, toured Auschwitz,
oh.
and did all that. They went to Schindler's factory. I watched Schindler's List with my daughter before she the Saturday night before we went to drop her off at the airport, just to give her a little background.
How
of what
do
happened.
You prepare her for that emotionally?
I don't.
To walk on that on that exact ground has got to be very, very hard.
I said 3 hours, it's going to be a tough movie. I said... You know, and my wife's not big into history, and I love history, and I was just explaining stuff, and she's like, why is it in black and white? I'm like, watch.
Yeah.
I just kept saying, watch.
Yeah.
That's all I kept saying. She's like, that girl in the pink jacket, I'm like, she's like, how come she's in pink? I'm like, just watch.
It'll pay off.
There's a reason. So, and it hit hard. And I said, think about it. Okay, here's what you got to think about. That's 1940.
Mm-hmm.
We're 2019.
Not that far away.
So it wasn't that far away.
I know.
And I said, think about that.
Yeah.
And what's going on today, and it was only 80-some years ago, it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's why people are on edge right now. And she's like, as a 16-year-old, okay, you know, you start processing stuff, and my kid's from the North Shore because we live in Northbrook, and you're in this protective little bubble, and you don't see outside.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now she's starting to connect the dots. You know, I'm Mr. Hard Knocks, Life of Hard Knocks. Get up. You want something, go get it, earn
mm-hmm.
it. You know, don't come to me for money. Go babysit or something.
Right.
You know, that's me. Go work at McDonald's, which she did.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you know, you've got a lot because dad works his tuck us off to provide for everybody. I go, it just doesn't drop out of the trees. I'm working 100 hours a week,
mm-hmm.
you know, providing for the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go get a job.
Yeah.
And she did. Okay, and now she's starting to connect the dots as a 16-year-old, and hopefully this trip coming back will really open her eyes. And she's with a group of 16-year-old campers, and it's a great experience.
But would you agree it's one thing to go to, like, you can go to the Holocaust Museum or Spertus College will
100%.
Do an exhibit every once in a while, and you see the uniforms and you see the gear that was used during the camps. But to be there, to physically be there at Auschwitz, I can't imagine how emotional that
was. Well, she said it was tough.
Yeah.
And she and my wife took her on a trip for her 16th birthday to New York to see the 9/11. And and I haven't been to the museum. I was born in New York, and I haven't been back to since 9/11 to see the museum.
Yeah.
She made it through halfway, started crying, and she started, connecting the dots.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah,
she
yeah.
wasn't alive when all that happened. I mean, think about it. She's 16 years old.
Right.
Right? I was at the East Bank Club working out. I come out and I see planes flying in the building. I'm like, where's my Uncle Jeff?
Yeah.
Because he worked as a bond trader in those buildings. And the first thing I call my mom, like, where's Uncle Jeff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you start going back. I could tell exactly where it was. I got out of the shower. I walk out. Everybody's around the TV. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Oh, a plane flew into the World Trade Center. And as crazy as it sounds, back in the day, back then, Cessna's always, once in a while, you know, somebody would have something and fly into a building was no big deal. So I'm like, oh, it's just a Cessna. We didn't know it was a 757, 737, you know, out of Boston loaded with fuel.
Yeah, I know.
Nobody knew that until after. Then all of a sudden, here's a second one. I'm like, find Uncle Jeff. Right, and the problem was back then everybody starts calling all their relatives in New York, and you couldn't get through, and the phone lines were jammed, and the systems were overloaded. So thank God Uncle Jeff
ended up okay.
Yeah, he's fine. Thank God.
That's good news.
Yeah, but remember that F-15s flying around the city.
Yeah.
You could roll a bowling ball down Michigan Avenue. So as a 16-year-old, she never experienced that. So it is tough. I said, you know, I was texting her. I'm like, did you see the gas chambers? Did you see the furnaces?
Yeah.
Because that scene with the ash coming down and all that stuff, yep. I'm like, remember that.
It's why the chants last night are so incredibly unnerving. Send her back. It's like come on. This is not what we're about here, USA.
I know.
I also want to know if Chet Kopic was on the couch that morning at East Bank Club. R.I.P.
Most likely. Or by the at the bar, just holding court.
Right.
Hey, good. Hey, bud.
Having a celery smoothie.
Yep.
All right, we'll take a break. David Hochberg is here. He has stuff to tell you. Stay here, Bill. And,
yes.
Not Wendy, but Mark Harmon in for Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff, it's Mark Carmen sitting in for Wendy, and it's David Hochberg. David, it wouldn't be you if you didn't help people. You helped some people recently. Who'd you help?
Yes, I helped a WGN listener who went to Rocket Loving Lending, and he was about ready to close the loan, but he called me to go over the fees, and I reviewed the fees, and I'm like, you know, unless they're buying, you know, I basically said something in David Hochberg way. I said, I hope they're buying your cab fare and you know, dinner, and you got dessert out of this, because what they're doing to you is ridiculous. We could do this at a lower rate and lower closing costs, mm-hmm. cancel the loan with Rocket Loving Lending, and we'll have them in a new loan by the end of the month. So that was one of your listeners. Another one of your listeners, I talked about it with Mark last night on The Late Show. A lady called in who's listening right now, Diane, and asked about co-signing for her daughter's college education.
Yes.
And she was concerned that her and her husband, her daughter was like in her third or fourth year and needed extra financing to complete the college education mm-hmm. that she was going at. And she's like, you know, we want to move because our younger son, our son, who our number two and last one, is getting ready to go to college. We mm-hmm. have to do something with him. We want to sell the house and move someplace else, lower taxes, and get out of Illinois. Okay, great. She's like, will the student loans hinder our ability to buy another house?
Yeah.
You know, I said, well, if you don't make enough money and that $300, $400 payment, it could be $500, $600 payment, is going to hinder you, then what you have to do is you have to show that your daughter is making the student loan payment out of an account with just your daughter's name. So that's step one. Step two is we have to show that your daughter's been making the payment out of your daughter's account for at least 12 months to not count that payment going to the student loans against her and her husband's ratios when they go to buy a new place, right? Because if I pull your credit, you and your wife,
yes.
okay?
Yes.
Perfect example. Mr. and Mrs. Leff
yes.
co-signed for their twin daughter's college education.
Yes.
You want to buy another home, right? The college education's costing you, pick a number, Bill, $1,000 a month.
Okay.
That $1,000 a month is the equivalent of a $200,000 mortgage payment.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now if your income is tight, which 98% of your listeners, the income's tight when qualifying for a loan because of real estate taxes and they've got a lot of debt and everything else, if that $1,000 a month is counted against your ratios, you might not qualify for a new mortgage.
Right.
So the only way not to count that $1,000 against Mr. and Mrs. Leff's new mortgage is if Sally, your daughter, in this case, had been writing checks to the student loan company or paying it online from her own account. It has to be in
so
only her name.
So that's the key to this.
It has to show 12 months. That's with any type of co-signing. It could be a student loan. Could be a car loan. We've had people co-sign for windows.
Mm-hmm.
We've had people co-sign for furniture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever you co-sign for, the person you co-signed that loan with has to prove that they've made at least 12 payments
mm-hmm.
out of an account with only their name or their spouse's name. Your name can't be on the account because then you're paying for it.
Right.
So it's got to be an account and only their name. You can't be on the account.
It's so funny you bring this up because my wife said to me, she had a question she wanted to ask you, or what, through me.
Right.
My daughter, one of my daughters was set to graduate this year and then just found out she got accepted to Harvard Business School. Oh. So that's additional
70
schooling.
Grand a year, right? Congratulations. Right,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Your Thank daughter's you. Going to Harvard Business School?
That's exactly the way I said it, Mark.
Wait, I would my do a DNA going? Test. Right. I don't know. There's no
23andMe has already contacted the family. They're very curious about how this could possibly be.
Honestly, I always thought you were a smart guy. You're on a you're on a new level
this
now.
Actually, it's the wife. It's got nothing to do with this guy over here.
But she said, is it better for us to extend? We already have taken out student loans for both my daughters. Is it better to extend those or to have her create the loan? And you're saying it's better to have her create the loan.
If she could afford the loan, have her create the loan. Better to get a federal loan because there's a lot of protection with federal loans, student loan forgiveness in the future, consolidating in the future. The private loans are tougher to do. So absolutely.
The only thing that bothers me, though, and I'm sure you've heard this before, is then you're starting out in life. Once you graduate college, you're already starting out in such a deep hole.
Sure.
You know?
Right. So tell her not to go to Harvard Business School.
All right.
And I'm not trying to be a smart guy here. Because
that's the fact.
It's a fact.
In the hole.
Right. You're going to start in the hole.
But that's first of all, it should cost a lot less. But secondly, that's an investment that you would hope would pay off.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Across the street, you got me going already. Okay?
This is the David Hopper guy, no.
Across the street, we got Chicago Booth University Business School. 150 G's. You want to see $1 million? Okay, count 7 kids going through the turnstiles over there, going through those doors. 150 G's to go to University of Chicago Booth. Are you kidding me? $150,000 to get a business school education from any school.
Right.
And what's their endowment? I'll bet you it's more than $2-4 billion. Okay, why don't you subsidize some of that 150 G's for 2 years with the $3-4 billion you got sitting there? Harvard's got $6 billion. You got me fired up.
I know.
Okay, I was fine. I was almost through the half hour. They've got $6 billion.
Hold
no,
cloth, please.
I need more than that. They've got $6 billion at Harvard.
I know.
And they're going to jam it down your daughter's throat for 75 to 80 G's a year.
Know.
How ridiculous is that?
It's horrible. It's not fair. I know.
Thanks. I almost made it through.
Everything was going
so
well.
I was fine.
No, we were
and
so
now
close.
I want to promote the Blackhawks thing. Can I promote the Blackhawks
absolutely.
Thing?
Absolutely. Yeah,
I wanted to be calm to the Blackhawks.
You didn't answer the question. Is it or is
what?
It not worth it? Is that an investment that's worth it? I want to know even...
Okay. So here's the yin to that yang.
Yeah.
Is your daughter, when she graduates Harvard Business School, God willing, she, with that Harvard degree, she should be making $150,000 to $250,000 a year.
You would hope. Right.
Okay. Now, some companies, Carmen, because the job pool is so tight right now, and some of these companies are enticing students that graduate from Ivy League schools or good programs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That they will pay off their student loans after a 5-year period of time. You have to give them a 5-year commitment, and then they start shaving off 30, 40, 50, whatever the big attorneys are doing it. Big six attorneys, big six CPA firms are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be $150,000.
Of course not.
It's ridiculous.
Of course not.
Okay, so now... I want to promote the Blackhawks.
Then. Okay, go ahead. Do you want a limeade?
I
can we get Mr. Huckberg a limeade, please?
Okay. All right. Got me all fired up. I was in a good mood coming in here. I'm in my shorts. I'm waiting for 150 degrees. I got rain down coming over.
No,
walk into a building that's 62. I'm going to get pneumonia. At 1 o'clock, it's going to be 108. I'm going to be in Northwestern by the end of the day because my body temperature is going up and down.
All right, you'll be
okay. Can I get to the Blackhawks?
Yes. Tell me about the Blackhawks.
We signed an agreement with the Blackhawks. Team Huckberg signed an agreement with the Blackhawks. We're going to be
limeade.
What the hell is limeade?
It's good stuff.
Is it good stuff?
Yeah, you'd love it.
Is that a tennis player?
It's like lemonade, but with limes instead of lemons.
Does anybody but tennis players drink it? Do real athletes drink that stuff?
Just
forget it.
I've never heard anyone say, "Can I get you a limeade?" Go ahead. I'm sorry. It's amazing.
Crap. All right. So here. Okay. So where am I? Here. Team Huckberg signed a sponsorship agreement with the Chicago Blackhawks, who have done an amazing job retrofitting their team from the disappointment from last year.
Of course.
And we're excited. I am excited for this season.
Yeah.
We signed an agreement. We're going to be doing something in next year with the Blackhawks. We're going to start it around Christmas time. I'm not going to let you know right now. I'm going to tease that. But at the fan convention, one fan can win a chance to shoot the puck at the convention on Saturday night, and I guess it's one of the big events on Saturday night. You have to be in attendance.
Okay.
We're going to have a booth there. You can come down. You can register for free.
Uh-huh.
We're going to pick one person to shoot the puck in front of like a room full of 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, whatever's there, to win $1,000. We're going to put the placard, a Team Hockrick placard, up there with the Blackhawks logos with the hole open.
And the puck goes through the hole. You
win $1,000.
Wow.
So at the if you're going to the fan convention, this is breaking news, Bill. Yeah, this is big stuff.
I've never heard of this.
Because I'm telling you
it's
now.
It's unprecedented.
Correct. So what I'm doing here is I'm going to be at the Blackhawks convention Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We're gonna have one lucky fan.
Yes.
But you have to be in attendance at the event on Saturday night. I think they're shooting the puck at 6.
Okay.
So stop by the booth, say hi. I'll be there. I'm giving hugs for free.
Oh, free hugs?
Because I give great hugs. And if you want to bring your mortgage statement, we'll give free evaluations at the Blackhawks, because that's what you want when you go to a Blackhawks convention. You want to get players' pictures. You want to get autographs. And you want to get a free mortgage evaluation.
Everybody wants this.
Right. And we're going to be there, and you have a chance to win $1,000.
It's fantastic.
$100 bill. By the way, Bill, that's $1,000.
It's $1,000 all time.
Right? Your daughter would know that, and your wife would know that.
Yeah.
But here's what we got. I'm just very excited to launch it here.
That's excellent.
Breaking
That's
news.
Such good news. If people want to reach you, David, what would their best bet be?
Very simple, Bill. It's 855-56-DAVID, 855-56-DAVID. That's the toll-free number.
Are you on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter, at David Hochberg. That's spelled H-O-C-H-B-E-R-G.
Are you on Etch-A-Sketch?
Yes. I do a mean Blackhawks Indian head on
Etch-A-Sketch. I would love to see that.
It's fantastic. Right. But I don't have the color one because I can't afford the color
one.
I'll come to your house to use that
right.
one. And then you could go to our website, 56david.com, 56david.com, and we'd love to help more of your listeners with their mortgages like we're helping them now.
That's David Hochberg. Seek him out. It's worth it. Thanks, David.
Thank you.
To see you. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand, all from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, right here on WGN Radio. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff, along with Mark Harmon. Mark is filling in for Wendy. We've got several texts from people who say words to the effect of Wendy sounds different today. And she does. It's because it's not Wendy at all, Mark. It's you.
I apologize for that. Where is Wendy? Do we know?
An undisclosed location.
Undisclosed?
Yes.
Okay. That's probably good.
We can't, for legal reasons, we can't give out her coordinates. But we'll give out clues throughout the rest of the show.
She didn't tell you where she was going? Is that
no,
what's
I know where.
You do, really?
I know where.
Oh, you guys are tight like that. Okay.
A couple things. A scheduling note for those of you who are keeping track of this sort of thing. The regular show, of course, usually runs through noon, and then Steve comes on with the Wintrust Business Lunch. Today, it's an early White Sox start, so we'll do this part of the show till about 11:30, 11:40, and turn things over to Andy Mazur, but you and I will go to the stream and do the bonus hour, now bonus hour and a half.
Where do we go to do that?
Here, same room.
Right here?
Same exact room.
Move? Okay.
No reason to move. Steve's Wintrust Business Lunch, I don't think will be heard today, right? Steve, are you around? He's already off. He's gone.
He left for the day?
Yeah, he's done. He's done.
Isn't there an 11:30 news? What are we going to do?
We'll figure something out.
Mazur will do it?
Yeah. All sports stories in the news today. Several people wanted to know if David Hochberg could possibly not know what Limeade is. I don't know that Limeade is as big of a deal as it used to be, but when I was a kid, Limeade, that was around. You could get a Limeade in most restaurants.
Limeade.
Like lemonade, but with limes instead of lemons. That's the only recipe change.
What was the cleaning product that's very similar to Limeade where I thought you were maybe trying to poison
Windex?
Not Windex. It was like a yellow whatever. But I'm looking it up here. Limeade. It kind of looks delicious.
Limeade also sounds like something a bunch of rock and rollers would get together to do to save lime farms.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, yes, and everybody,
If there was like a season where the limes weren't quite growing right, Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings would get their friends together and perform Limeade.
If Willie and Waylon were coming in tomorrow for Limeade, I'd stop.
That'd be all right.
Right, I'd stop everything I was
That'd
doing
be a
to
good
be there.
Day.
Let's support.
Anytime Wendy sees you, Mark, she asks you the exact same question.
It's a little disturbing.
I know it's disturbing. She always asks you, are you still getting married?
Yeah,
which is that's unfair.
Yeah, I don't think Wendy believes in me very much. I think
you're right.
And she just comes right at me and says it. I think she probably is speaking for the entire station.
But she doesn't sugarcoat it. A lot of people would give you a softer version. How's the wedding? How are the wedding plans coming along? What are you working on for the wedding?
Right.
But Wendy, right to the point, are you still getting married? And the answer, of course, is yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. The answer is yes. It's November 30th. It's creeping closer.
It's coming soon.
Yeah. We're doing a lot of good things. I'm not really involved in any of them, but I know that good things are happening.
That's not horrible, though, to not be involved.
Yeah, I feel like I should be contributing. But
you want some nod power. You want her to run something past you and go, what do you think of this? And you just nod and go, yeah, I like that idea. You want that? You're getting that?
Not really, no. There was an invitation meeting recently. We were going to go over the invitations, what invitation we're going to pick.
Yeah.
And then I was I was told that you don't need to come. I'll just look at the invitations and I'll send you a couple pictures.
Oh.
You can tell me which one you like.
But you weren't happy with that. You want more input.
No, I really appreciated it, actually. I was thrilled to not go, but I just, it sort of speaks to the level of my input. You don't need to come to this. You don't need to come to that.
But isn't it better for you? You trust her, obviously.
Yes.
Right?
Isn't it
better to just say, have at it, set everything up, tell me what time to be there, I'll be there.
I'm coming around here, Bill, that I've learned that, you know what, this is kind of your thing.
Yeah.
This is your deal.
Yeah.
And I'm just rolled out in, you know, a suit and there for there for the dancing,
right?
And to shake hands,
right?
Eat an appetizer and maybe have, you know, some gelato at the back end.
If that. Have you gotten to the part yet where you've determined how many people will be attending the reception afterwards? You have gotten to that?
No.
That's the hardest part, is not just picking a number, but then saying, well, if we invite those guys and those guys, we have to invite those guys.
Right. And so you've also got people like, that person invited me. Do I have to invite
them?
There's
a lot of reciprocal inviting.
Right. Now, I don't know how you feel about reciprocal inviting, Bill. What would you say? How important is that? Because if you don't reciprocal invite, you just punted on the friendship and it's
over. Yes, you did.
Right. That's
done. Yes, you did.
Done and done.
Right.
But maybe it's okay. And maybe it's okay on both sides.
Do you think sometimes, though, with the reciprocal inviting, it has to do with the time length? For instance, if you were just invited to a wedding this year or last year,
mm-hmm.
that's a given. You almost have to invite those people. But if it was 6 years ago, 7 years ago, you can go, well, I've changed, they've changed, we don't see each other as often.
The person I'm thinking about is roughly in the 3-year range.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's right
in
the middle.
That's a tough call.
Right.
How often do you see him or her?
Often.
Oh, that's very tough.
Right.
Very tough.
I think they're going to make the cut. I think they're in. Got to do it.
With a plus one, obviously.
Yes.
Is everyone who invited?
Plus two, why not?
Plus two. Bring your date and a neighbor.
Yeah. Whoever else you got. You got a kid you want to bring. And then we got the family situation, too, which is always interesting.
What's the family situation?
Well, I mean, I think some in my family want their children to come, and then some in my family wouldn't really care. But if you invite these kids, then you got to invite those kids. That's
right.
The whole thing, right?
There's so much etiquette involved. There's so much tact involved.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying, for you, it's better to be a little bit removed from it, you know?
One thing I did start thinking about is, which I hadn't in the past, because I was trying, like, how are we going to cut down the cost here? But then I did remember recently, it was pointed out to me, you know, these people that you invite,
they'll bring gifts.
They give you a gift.
Right.
I'm like, oh, right. We get gifts.
There will be gifts.
But then that just feels even worse, too, right? Like, if I invite you, then you got to give me a gift, and now we got another salad bowl, and... You know, I don't know.
Isn't it weird? You also there's no way to politely stress that you'd prefer money as a gift without looking tacky. But I think most people, even though punch bowls are fantastic,
right?
You'd rather have the money.
Straight cash, homie.
Yes.
Go. Right. Come on.
Yes.
We all do we see the occupation? Do you? I mean, oh, come on. Dollars.
The kid. Well, let's take a break. We'll talk. We'll discuss this further. Mark Harmon is here. He's filling in for Wendy. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill and Mark on WGN. It's Bill Leff. It's Mark Harmon. Mark is filling in for Wendy. Wendy is away for the week. Yesterday, I was in a very, very giving mood, and I had 4 passes to the Blackhawks convention, the 12th annual Blackhawks convention. Today, it turns out, I have 4 more passes to that same convention.
Wow.
It'll be July 26th through 28th. Mark, you've been there. It's a great time.
If you're a Blackhawks fan, you'll love it.
It's nirvana.
And even if you're not a Blackhawks fan, it's still a fun time. But
sure.
Yes.
Sure.
I think a diehard, though, should get these.
Should definitely win. All right. Well, let's do this. Caller number, you decide. Caller number?
Let's go with number 7.
Caller number 7 right now at 312-981-7200. 7,200 will win four passes to the 12th annual Blackhawks Convention July 26th or 28th at the Hilton Chicago. It features current players and alumni, autographs and photo sessions, Q&A panels, exhibits, interactive games, and more. Visit Blackhawks.com to purchase your passes today or win the family four-pack that we're discussing with you right now.
And the key is, by the way, make it a participatory event. Just don't go there just to get the autographs.
Right.
You got to do the games. You got to see your. You got to put your skill level on the line.
Right. There's yep.
And listen to the shows and hang out and say
can
hello.
Do all that. I think we already have a winner, Mark. That didn't take too long. Hey, Jim?
Yo?
I have some great news for you. You're the winner of the four passes to the Blackhawks Convention.
Yes.
That's what I like to hear. Have you been there before, Jim?
No, I haven't, but first I'd time? Sure like to go.
Put yourself a Blackhawk jersey on and enjoy the day.
Absolutely.
All right.
Thank you
stay
very
on the
much.
Line. Jasmine will talk to you.
I'm going to get emotional. That was big for Jim.
You are. You're tearing up a little bit, Mark. Come back.
I felt the passion for
come
Jim.
Back.
I feel like Jim's been watching since Tony O.
Before the break there, we were discussing Mark's upcoming wedding at the end of November. This is a strange question, but hear me out.
Okay.
There's a reason I'm asking this.
Okay.
Are your parents or your fiance's parents adding any input as to who they need invited to the wedding? Sometimes a mom and a dad will have people that have been family friends for years or that they've worked with for years, and they want those people at the wedding. Has that happened?
Yeah, no, we're definitely at the mercy of the parents on that one. There are some people that we've never heard of who will be attending, and I can't wait to see
meet
them for the first time and meet them. I don't want to speak incorrectly here. Perhaps I met them when I was, you know, 7, 8 years old, which was, 30,
a couple years ago.
30 some odd years ago.
And just be ready, because after they come to your wedding and they have your address, you're going to get tons of Christmas cards
with
nice. Kids. That you don't ever
won't
know.
Won't that be fun?
Well, yeah. I could use some new friends, to be honest. So this could be a good thing
good
for
timing.
Me. Yeah.
Very good timing. Our rule when Terry and I got married was when it came to people invited to the wedding, we have to know them and we have to like them. And my parents fought me on that. They go, that's ridiculous. I go, wait, at our wedding for us to not know them or like them? Yes, that's the way they used to do it years ago, but it's new now.
Did you win that four or did you lose?
Well, we had decided, my wife and I paid for everything at our wedding. You know, we wanted everything to be on us, right?
Well, now you got control.
You would think. So we figured out the most we could afford was 100 people. That was the limit, right?
Okay.
Then my parents gave me a list of people that they needed to be there, and it was in the 30s. It was like 34 or 35.
Okay.
And I said, we can't do it. We're only going to have 100. And like you, there were people whose name on the list that I'm like, I don't know who that is. Well, they were my dry cleaner when I lived in. No, I don't. We can't invite those guys to the wedding. So it did create some problems at the time.
I'm impressed that you were able to sport your own wedding. That's something that's clearly not going on over here. Good for you, Bill.
Well, it took us forever to afford it because we said all along, at this point, we're adults. We were both in our 20s, our late 20s.
That's pretty young. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Bennigan's? What are we talking
about? It was at Bennigan's, yeah. The back from the banquet room at Bennigan's. What a spread, Mark. What a spread.
They do a great chicken figure.
It's so delicious.
Right?
So delicious. What has been so far, what has been the biggest point of contention while planning this wedding? Has there been anything where you guys have really said, wow, we're polar opposites on this?
I don't think there's anything that hasn't been a point of contention, but it's really helping us grow as people, Bill. We're learning to go through we're learning how to work through things. It's important. But I think the biggest thing was the venue at the start. But now I'm very excited that we're having it and all that type of stuff. So
is there any?
And the gelato cart was big.
Well, the gelato cart's always going to be big.
Right, right. That was a big thing.
There's a gelato cart.
Right.
Am I on that
Jen
list?
Better be on that list.
Well, the Sunday bar was $45 per person, DeSalvo. So, and then I was
really?
Like, I'm like,
$45 per person for a Sunday
for
bar.
For a Sunday. I'm like, you know what? This is where I'm going to draw the line. We're not going Sunday bar for $45 a person. Where's the gelato cart? Great. Roll it on in there. Gelato's like $6-$7 a person.
Wait a second. So if you don't mind me asking, is there an open bar? And what does that cost versus Sunday bar?
See, now I'm not pricing out the open bar because that's a given.
Well, there's different levels of that.
Right.
You know that, right? Some will just do a beer and wine. Some will do a harder drinks.
That was one of the points of contention. Yeah. I said, I'm good with the beer and wine. I'm like, mm-hmm. no chance we're having vodka. I'm like,
all right. Oh.
Okay. So that was, you know, people, I have friends who will enjoy having a full bar. So
yeah, I bet.
I relented on that. And
I know how much sports means to you.
Right.
So at some point, are you pushing to do something sporty? At like, will there be baseball caps at every table with different team logos on them? Are you doing anything like that?
That hopefully will be for the bar mitzvah down the line here. maybe my second one, but I think I'm going to be perhaps wearing Air Jordans is the plan here, Bill. You know,
is that true?
Yes, I think that's what we're gonna do because you know I perform better when I'm wearing.
You feel more comfortable,
right? And it's a nerve-wracking
day. So you'll still go with a tuxedo, but with some Air Jordans underneath.
I think we're going to go suits, too. So the whole tux thing, it's just kind of...
Too stiff?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I don't know. Give me a little flavor. Give me a suit.
Except that if there's ever a day... Because I know what you mean about tuxedos, but if there's ever a day where you're going to wear one, you go, well, my wedding day kind of makes sense.
Are you saying I should relent on this one, too? This is a point of contention where I won here, Bill. Now, maybe...
I didn't know that.
It's still up. It's up in the air.
You'll have plenty of other tuxedo opportunities. I know you like to solve international crimes on the side.
I do.
That always requires a tuxedo.
And it's fun to wear, you know, if you just go tux to a random Sunday White Sox game, guaranteed right field, you know, just show up in the tux.
Right.
It's a big
get a lot of attention.
Right. Big day today. You know, when maybe Luis Robert will be called
right
up later in the season.
Yeah, you wear a tux to that.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I should have worn it for Dylan Cease.
a quick reminder, the show, as you know, usually goes until noon. Today, because of an early White Sox start, the bonus hour will start a half an hour early, so you can hear Mark and I on the stream for the bonus hour. That'll start at roughly 11:35, 11:40. So stick around. We'll explain the rest of you next. It's Bill and Mark in for Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Jen. It's Bill F. and it's Mark Harmon. White Sox baseball is next. The Sox battle of the Kansas City Royals, hopefully with a great result. We'll turn it over right now to Andy Mazur.